So, Manny T here with the WrestleHolics podcast. Today, on this hot summer day in Fort Wayne, we've got the hardcore legend himself, Mick Foley.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. No problem. Hey, we know it's hot today. We know you got a lot to do, so we're going to keep it short and sweet. I'll jump right into it. So, my main question, I grew up watching you since early 90s, you know, and I watched, all three, four renditions of you? My main question is, what character was the easiest for you to prepare for, and what made it that easy?
Well, Jude Love was the easiest because, A, by design, he was the least physical of the wrestlers. I had to explain on the podcast with Conrad, like, if they were all of equal strength, there's no reason to change among them. Like, to try to pull off a pacifist wrestler was not... that's a different type of idea. But it was easy because it was not as much was demanded of Dude, and he could have more fun. We weren't counting on him to, you know. Except when I was a heel Dude Love against Steve Austin, then we did have to tear down the house. But by and large, not much was expected of Dude.
Which rendition did you think would have won the Royal Rumble?
Well, remember all three renditions were in the Royal Rumble, so it's not like it's a hypothetical question.
Right.
I was in there three times, and as my youngest son reminded me when I was 5 years old, you still couldn't win. So I don't think we need to speculate as to who would win, because I had a shot with all three and still couldn't pull it out.
All right, so my last question is, what advice would you give to young wrestlers trying to break into the industry today?
Oh, be really aware of the difficulty. Be really aware that the odds are against you. You know, I don't think anyone should go in because they think they're going to be a huge star. I mean, that should be a goal, but it shouldn't be the be-all and end-all. You maybe have heard me talk about really big stars, global stars, who feel like their career has been a failure because they're not in the WWE Hall of Fame. And it's like, guys, don't let someone else define for you what being a success is. So there you go. Don't let anyone define for you what being a success is. That's what I would tell the young wrestlers.
So, Mick, I know you got a lot of dates coming up, specifically in Indiana. Do you want to let our fans know and everyone know where they're at?
Yeah. Today is a completely different type of signing. I haven't done a minor league game in a long time, and I do enjoy them. But I'm doing my own one-man tour, 40 Years of Foley. I'm having a lot of fun, and we're bringing it to the Hoosier State. We're going to Hobart, Indiana, and also Greenville or Greenwood, which is essentially Indianapolis, and then we've also got one in West Chicago, which is almost sold out for people who live out that way.
Awesome, Mick. Well, it was a great time talking to you. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Did you hear about my trials and tribulations to get here?
I did. Do you want to share it real quick?
This is something, if somebody's at home, we're like, all right, is it admirable to drive through the night 2 months after you had a bad car accident? Or is it foolish? But, just because a flight is delayed and then canceled, to me, that's no reason not to make the date. And so I rented a car and I put 10 hours in and I'm here. And if it looks like I want to be here, I'm faking it. Yeah, sometimes you put on a happy face, and then sometimes you actually become happy through pretending to be. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally.
There you go. All right.
Thank you again, Mick. All right. Appreciate everything.
Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
What's up, everybody? This is the WrestleHolics Podcast. I'm Drew.
Manny T.
DC Hendricks.
We're coming to you live from 1380 The Fan and Main Event Wrestling Network, bringing you all the latest in the world professional wrestling. Make sure to follow and subscribe to all our social medias, and also make sure to tap into all our content. Let's get the show started.
What's up, fellas?
What's up? Damn, it's kind of weird, man.
Different, ain't it?
What up?
Yeah, hey, this new
layout's kind of dope.
Man, we done came a long way, haven't we?
look, whoop, WrestleHolics.
How y'all fellas been?
Hot, tired.
I'm doing good, y'all. I'm doing good. I did the lawn all day yesterday, so today I'm big chilling.
No, man, we got to be really we got to tell people about this one, man. It's like Manny T got to interview the hardcore legend Friday, man.
Yeah.
Mick Foley, baby. Yeah. Hey, that interview, which we are going to include post-op in our podcast that we drop every Monday, you'll get to hear me sit down with Mick Foley, ask him some questions. The man is really tall in person.
No, facts. He did, tower all three of us.
Yeah. There was, you know, outside of the highlight of me getting to sit down with a hardcore legend, one of my most favorite wrestlers, he was calling you, Drew, by your nickname a couple times.
Yeah, that was a shocker. He called me Booby. I was like, yo, I ain't never think in life that Mick Foley would be calling me Booby.
Yeah, he even said, come on, Booby, get in this shot. I was like, shot, oh, Booby. Snap.
Oh, no, I got a lot of calls about that, calls and text messages.
Get in here, like, Booby.
Yeah, no, everybody was like, yo, how did y'all get that interview? Don't worry about it.
Right. I got asked that same question. Like, how did you guys get that interview? I'm like, because we not local. We worldwide.
Yeah, actually, repeat that again. We're not local.
We're not local. We are worldwide.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. Other than that, man, this past weekend, man, we had another PLE. We kind of discussed it before the podcast. One of y'all liked it. Actually, I don't think one of y'all
was. I liked it. So, Manny, like I said, I was mowing yesterday during it. Mm-hmm. And was at a baseball event, so I wasn't watching it live. Manny seen it before I did.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch it until last night. And I asked Manny, I was like, no spoilers, but did you like Night of Champions?
And before I even gave you the rating.
Yeah, before he even tells me if he liked it, he gives me a spoiler. Like, bro.
I thought you would have seen it like all on your phone or something, to be honest.
I purposely did not click any other app, so I didn't see spoilers. And this man gave me a spoiler. It's all good, though.
This guy.
All good, though. He only gave me one.
That spoiler was worth it, though, wasn't it?
It was worth it. And he only gave it a 5 out of 10. So I was like.
So that's what I had a problem with. He gave it a 5.
Yeah.
Should I wait till after we done or before we start to give y'all my rating?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I gave it like a solid 7.
I think it was about 7.
And that was just, I think mine was more of like the storytelling. Mm. So
I gave it about a 6. I wasn't much higher than Manny, but 5 is a little, that's rough. 5 is a little low.
When he said 5, I was really thinking, like, what happened to give it to 5?
What happened for me to give it to 5 had to be how they stacked the card. You know, I thought it could have flowed a little bit better. I thought it was cool starting with Cody and Randy. That match was – I think that match set the tone for the card, which it's like setting the bar here and then, you know, bringing it down and then going back up. So, you know, that's just my opinion.
So, hey, let's just even just start with this card, man. I know first one, Cody versus Randy.
I was surprised they started with that one, were you?
I thought it was a good startup because I didn't really know which one they was going to start with. I thought, for some reason, I thought it was going to be Sami Zayn first. I thought it was going to be his match. But them starting off like, hey, let's show who the winner is of this match and kind of get that storyline started for SummerSlam.
Ooh, excuse me. Were you surprised, Manny, that they started with that?
Like I said, I was surprised and I was kind of upset that they started with it because they set the bar. That match was everything we wanted and more. So I was highly impressed with, you know, their match. As always, Cody and Randy always put on a great match. So I knew what I was expecting. And then, you know, we got the little Cody's off the rope sidekick into a RKO. Beautiful. Anytime Randy can counter someone's move with an RKO, I love it. So. It was definitely phenomenal.
I don't know. Midway through the match, man, I thought we was about to get a heel, Randy.
Nah, we got the Randy we needed.
Yeah, it's gotta lead into it. We ain't gonna do it. We can't just jump right into the heel turn. It's gotta build up. It's
still building, but it's coming though. It was one of those moments. I'm just like, oh, he taking off the turnbuckle. I'm like, oh, buddy, we about to get this one.
He brought the chair in too. I was like, oh yeah, here we go.
Legend Killer, the Viper.
Yeah.
Combination of both.
That right there. Thanks for bringing that up. When he squared Cody up for the punt, and then he, like, stopped himself. I was like, oh, the tale of two Randys. Here we go. He's contemplating. He wants to do it, but he's like, man, that's my protege. I can't just kick his head off. And then he's like, no, I can.
I don't think we're going to get the heel Randy until SummerSlam.
Hmm.
Mm.
I think he makes Cody lose at SummerSlam.
Dude, that would be horrible.
That'd be great. What do you mean? That'd be awesome.
Man, I'm already thinking the worst for this match anyway. Yeah. So,
just when, like, Cody about to win, RKO out of nowhere.
Man, I'm thinking of the worst for that match, but I feel like I'm going to hold on to my opinion on it till in a few weeks. So just kind of remind me to bring it back up when we get closer.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen how John's been winning all of his matches, so.
I'm going to wait till we get to that last. I got my opinion on that one. So,
so overall, what did you guys think of the match?
Ooh, I want to give it about 7-8. Strong 8.
Strong 8. I'll give it a 7-8. 7.8.
7.8.
Yeah. Only be, it would have been higher on, higher rating if it was further in the card. Mm-hmm. Because but to start the PLE with that match. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They did that though because you know the crowd, it gets the crowd engaged over there. You know, the Saudi crowd loves Randy Orton's theme, and of course our boys downstate. Shout out to them, by the way.
Yep, shout out downstate.
They love to sing that Kingdom and love to sing voices.
It gave me goosebumps watching that match and seeing Randy come out and seeing Randy stand there and just like soak it in. Yeah, definitely hit a spot.
Yeah, that's why they started with it. But it was just, I think it was a good match. I'd give it about a 7. I feel like any higher is just kind of forcing it, and then any lower is just going to sound like a hater. I thought it was a good match to start, and I thought, honestly, I thought that was one of the best matches of the night. It just kind of – I was just a little surprised that it was so early on.
Yep. What'd you guys – so we got the second match, which determined our opponent for SummerSlam and the Queen of the Ring between Jade Cargill and Asuka. And I want to start this one because – I think I'm on the right track. My prediction from a couple weeks ago, from last week, is starting to lay itself out. You know,
Didn't you say Jade from the beginning?
I said Jade from the beginning, and I said Jade from the beginning for only one reason, and that's because our Miss Money in the Bank. I think Jade's going to win. I think Jade's going to knock off Tiffy, and then Jade's going to get knocked off by Naomi.
I'm a little disappointed, not going to lie.
Really? I thought you would have loved it.
I picked Asuka. I was trying to get the hero story. I was trying to get EO and Asuka at SummerSlam. The match didn't disappoint me. I definitely would say that. Mm. It was more the crowd that disappointed me. But I'm not going to get too deep into that part. But
I will for you.
Well, I say this. King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring, it shouldn't be at that place. Yeah, I feel like that was kind of disrespectful in a way. Mm-hmm. It's like, dang, this is one of their biggest moments, and barely no one's cheering.
Yep.
The match itself was good. And, in fact, I would argue that was one of Jade's best matches in WWE. Asuka probably helped that, working with her. But afterwards, Jade's moment, getting crowned queen after everything she's been through, you know, leaving AEW, going through the transition to a whole new company, you know, having to start from scratch, basically. It's that moment with her getting crowned as the Queen of the Ring should have been a much bigger moment and should have been in front of a crowd that would appreciate it, in my opinion. Yep. And it was like straight crickets. There was no noise. There's no nothing whatsoever. She cut a great promo afterwards that, you know, definitely had not necessarily a direct shot towards AEW, but definitely was a little bit drawn when she's talking about, you know, don't let people tell you who you are and define you. You prove them wrong. That's exactly who she's talking to. And also, you know, a little bit of the feud that she's been in as well. So that moment should have been a lot bigger than it was. And the crowd just killed all the vibe.
100%. I think the worst reaction you can get other than boos is no reaction at all. And that's what the Saudi crowd gave her, is no reaction, which, I mean, like, you're killing any kind of momentum, and she didn't even get to start the momentum. So I agree. I think they should have did it King and Queen of the Ring at, you know, we've got, what is it, Saturday Night Main Event coming up? That would have been a great place to host those two matches.
I really feel I think she's probably going to do a better promo on Monday. So that's another reason why I'm kind of not aggressive with that opinion on her. I'm just like, I think she's going to do something on Monday where it kind of make you forget about the other day, pretty much, if that makes sense.
Okay, so the next match we got was for the United States Championship. Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa. Remember, we got the OTC.
You have no choice. You have no choice now.
We got the OTC.
You have no choice. Well, where? Where is he? Tell me where he's at. I'd love to see him. Hey, where's he at? No, he's at home chilling. We don't have the OTC no more. He's gone.
Don't do that, DC. Man. He didn't carry the company for these last 3 years. His back is hurt.
5 years, right. Hey, he gets a vacation. You see that yacht that he never got to use? He's using it right now. So let him use
his PTO.
Man, his PTO lasts a long time. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, OTC.
Nah, bro. Nah. Yeah. It's time. It's time. It's been time. Solo Sikoa gets his first championship gold on the main roster. Long overdue. Should have took it from Cody to begin with.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk about that another day, but it's time, baby. Hey, it's time.
Unlike our boy Jacob Braun, Solo got caught cheating on live TV.
Facts.
Cheating.
Unlike our boy Jacob Braun. He don't cheat.
Skip Jacob. But continue with the podcast.
1, 2, 3, right?
Okay, here we go.
And we got the debut.
Your favorite wrestler of all time is Eddie Guerrero. And you talk about cheating? Now you have a problem with cheating, but your favorite wrestler, Eddie Guerrero. Make that make sense.
Ooh.
So we got the debut of someone as well in the new Bloodline, Bloodline 2.0, however you want to call it. We got this 7-foot giant monster, or however they described him, in Tala Tonga, a.k.a. Hikuleo. And then we also got the return of Tangaloa, which, again, Solo needed all three of them to win the match.
I'm getting tongue-tied saying those.
He's probably right, we got Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, and Tala Tonga.
Manny, I'm happy we got you on here because I was not going to be able to say them names.
Don't worry, I got you.
Dude, I'm not going to lie to y'all. I love that match because of like how the storyline was, because I was really wondering, I was like, all right, so if Solo wins, how is he going to win? And I'm like, you just can't beat up 5-2 just straight up. I'm sorry.
No.
So the interference, I was like, okay, we kind of seen that coming. Then what was the second interference?
Yeah, first it was JC.
JC was the first one. The second one was
Tangaloa's return.
So I kind of like that one, but I was just like, listen, just don't mess this up.
I like his return because that was the first time in a long time I've seen his finisher. And that finisher was smooth. Fatu sold that finisher by Tangaloa.
Oh, yeah.
And off the turnbuckle, that was nice.
And then the third one, that was the one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like a little kid again. I was like, yo, time out. Who the hell?
Did they not say Hikuleo, though? Did they purposely do that again? Were they going to give him a new name?
Yeah, so they called him Tala Tonga. And Tala
is a playoff. That. Yeah. That's right.
And Tala is a playoff his actual name, which is Talalua, I believe. Mm. So, you know, I mean, when he pulled Jacob out the ring and then put him through that announce desk, I was like, uh-oh.
I loved it.
Uh-oh. So, yeah.
That looks like a solid fracture. I'm not even going to lie to y'all.
Yep. And then you know what's going to happen, right?
What? I was going to say, who's aligning with our ex-US champ, Jacob Fatu? Who's going
We're going to get Big Jim.
Big Jim.
Yeah, where was he at then?
He was home.
Yeah, he can't go out of the country.
He has a
wife. Hell, I thought he already... He's already been out since then.
No, him or Jay. So we're going to get... I think we're going to get Jacob. We're going to get Big Jim. We're going to get the OTC. And then we're going to get him. We're going to get this guy.
This don't even got nothing to do with Roman. The last time we seen Roman, he was beefing with Seth Rollins and CM Punk.
So Roman, the third guy, has everything to do with the fourth guy. And if you watched X this morning, last night, you would have seen someone posted a telephone.
Yeah, Zilla Fatu. I've seen
Zilla Fatu. We're going to get the debut of Zilla.
Right. That's great.
We'll see.
Look, don't knock me, okay? I still want Zilla in the WWE. He is killing it on the indies, but I think we're going to get Roman.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we're going to get Roman.
On OTC.
Yeah, no, Roman's going to bring him in.
No, we ain't moving to Zilla yet. Hold on, let's go back. What? So Roman comes back after all this time, right?
Yep.
After seeing him beefing with Seth Rollins, Paul Heyman gets his wise man stolen from him, beefing with CM Punk. And you're just okay with him coming back and just going in an entire new feud that has nothing – like, he's already beat Solo. He's already beat him for his Ulafala. That's done.
It proves that Roman is interchangeable. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however.
He's not interchangeable. Him beating Solo proved that he's not.
Maybe he wants to help his family. How about that? Well, heck, everybody in the ring family. But he want to help the ones he's been kicking with the most.
So you saying we're gonna get Jay leaving Raw to go to SmackDown?
We could, because it looks like
we're gonna get
a world championship.
I'm tired of watching him and Gunther go head to head a billion times. If I see that match one more time, I'm gonna crash out.
Right. Hey, I just got one thing to say. Four letters, one word. Stop.
Stop. I thought he was gonna. I thought he was gonna do the J, so I was trying to go against him. So you, you do acknowledge that. You acknowledge Solo then.
I acknowledge the great punchline.
This was the best of the night.
Yeah, hands down.
Best match of the night. Solo on the post show. The recap. You know, him being goofy. Like this was needed, and the night really needed that. So I think that was the best.
Hands down.
I would vote that was the best part of Night of Champions, in my opinion.
So, I definitely want to say I'm ready to see what the storyline, where the storyline goes now with him having the title. He leads the group.
Yeah, if no one's watched Jacob Fatu on the Indies, go back and watch matches between him and Hikuleo. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know who Hikuleo is.
I can't spell it.
Talatonga?
Yeah, that's okay, good. Now I know who it is.
Go watch them on the Indies. MLW.
You do that to me all the time, so I'm doing it to you too. I kept saying Cora Jade, you're like, Elena Black. I said Gigi Dolin, he's like, Priscilla Kelly.
Like, we get it, dude.
All right. Well, if go to the Indies and watch Tala Tonga and Jacob Fatu. That's all I'm saying. Those two put on matches.
Yeah. Quick shout out to they just hit us with the retweet. Shout out our people at the main event. Main Event Wrestling Network.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
What up?
Today. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah. Yep. So our next match, maybe my five is skewed because I fell asleep before this match started, and that's Sami Zayn versus Karrion Kross.
So you didn't see the match?
I did not, and I still haven't.
Come on, Manny.
I heard this match was phenomenal, too.
That's that age 36.
I got to it last minute. I'm not going to lie because I was doing laundry and I didn't have any high expectations because I think I was mad this match was put into this PLE.
Right.
I just felt like, I don't know. I think it was like one to show off Karrion Kross, obviously. And I don't think Sami Zayn really needed this match.
I think he did. I mean, I thought this was one of the best matches of the night as well. Like, I'm sorry that y'all fell asleep during it. I thought that was one of the best parts. Hey, yeah, they got our people.
Yep.
Shout out Main Event Wrestling Network. Yeah, I thought Sammy, I thought that was one of the best matches. Right behind Solo and Jacob Fatu. Yep. Karrion Kross got a chance to showcase his abilities and show everybody why the crowd loves him. And why he's so over with the WWE universe. He's great in the ring. He has good characters.
He's been killing the promos.
Killing the promos, bro. And he's always been like that. He just don't get TV time because he's not one of Triple H's buddies and one of his favorites. So it was good to see him get that shine with Sami Zayn. It was great even before the event, watching Scarlett and Karrion trying to get to the arena. Did y'all see that?
Yeah,
that was crazy. Getting mobbed by fans. Like, I love that whole part. But anyway, yeah, the match itself was one of the best matches, I think. And it went exactly the way we thought it would, right? Karrion still gets over, still gets his moment to shine. Sami wins in front of his home crowd. And eventually we get to the Royal Rumble. And Sami Zayn will win in front of his crowd again.
Okay. 100%. So, what
did you guys think about the
street fight? What?
The street fight. So, the street. Okay. See, now Manny's. I'm going to let y'all go first because I'm going to crash out. This is where my crash out comes, so I'm going to let y'all go first on the street fight.
Should I go or Manny want to
go? Go ahead.
I think I had an expectation. Obviously, my winner was going to be Raquel. I feel like that would have done great for her for the next couple of weeks. And I don't know. I just think Rhea didn't need this win in this situation. We had Saturday main event coming. Why can't she get the win then? So it would be like, I guess you could say, even out with each other. I didn't get why Rhea needed that win. I don't know. Like, because what's next? It's not a title shot because that's obviously is going to Jade.
Yep.
So, you're going to be sitting for a couple months.
I'm going to be chilling.
Yeah. You can't force yourself into another match again. That's how I look at it.
You're right.
So, it was real disappointing. I mean, actually, let me just say the fight was good to me. It was just the result of it that was really disappointing.
Yeah. So I'm going to revert back to a statement I made before WrestleMania. And that's they're turning Rhea Ripley into Charlotte Flair.
Which means?
Ooh. Means they're giving her everything, even when she don't need it. You know, we don't need 16 title reigns right off the bat. Just like Rhea, we don't need her winning everything. We already know how dominant she is. Mm-hmm. We get it. She's over with the crowd. Anywhere she goes, she sells out. Now, she's on the echelon with Seth Rollins, where a loss would even propel her, because she knows how to carry a match and lose and still put herself over. So give her an L. Let her shine with a loss, just like Seth does. I mean, two out of three with Cody, all three of those matches, Seth still came out better than he went in. You know, Rhea can do the same thing. Give her some losses and still watch her be one of the biggest stars in WWE today. But the match in a whole, I thought it was good. I thought there were some good parts. You had, I believe it was Rhea tied up in the ropes. And that was a great spot. The stairs sitting on the apron, beautiful spot. But give me Raquel winning. Raquel's on her own right now. She's holding both titles. And I guarantee you she defends them alone.
Then also, so this would kind of mess me up about the match, because this is where I thought Raquel was going to win, was when Roxanne jumped in.
Yeah,
like, so you put her in a trash can, knock her down, she done for the rest of the night? Hold on, like, I was like, yo, I thought she was a fighter in my eyes.
that's how I looked at it. She almost fit all the way in the trash can.
Yeah, that was crazy. I bet we all can fit in the trash can, actually.
Not like Roxanne can. No, facts. you look like it's eating you.
I ain't fitting no trash can, let's be real. maybe a dumpster. don't need to get the big ones for me. all right, so y'all just really light me up before I was. So I'm not gonna crash out anymore. Y'all light me up with the joke. Yeah, big Rhea fan. I almost even wore my Rhea shirt to the show. I was gonna wear it. She's my mommy, but the match pissed me off so bad I didn't want to wear it. Like, the match itself was pretty good. I'm not going to take away from the match. The street fight was pretty good. But yeah, everything y'all said, like getting, you know, with Roxanne getting involved, there's absolutely no fucking way that I know I did. It's all good.
Oh, you saw my eyes, right?
I'll take it out. I know there's no way that, like, Rhea should have still won this match. Because not only, once again, are you burying Raquel, you're burying Roxanne now. Yep. Who is supposed to be... Right, the storyline that they're working with Roxanne in here is they're clearly trying to replace Liv with her during the time that Liv is out. So the only way to make her replace her is by making her strong and making her a legitimate threat. So far, she has yet to do anything. So Roxanne needed to prove herself. Roxanne, you know, she helped Raquel on Raw and just stopped her from getting beat up. But, like, it needed to go further. Raquel has... Has Raquel beaten Rhea since NXT days?
Nope.
No. The last woman standing match? I don't even think she's beaten her since she's been on the main roster. Rhea completely keeps beating her. This was a huge miss. This was the moment where Raquel needed to win, because it elevates her, it elevates Roxanne, and it elevates the Judgment Day. This is why the Judgment Day is a joke. You already, like, this is the problem. Like, you had a chance to keep the Judgment Day as a top faction, and this is why they're not taken serious. They keep getting... all these tag team championship matches, which I think they're getting another one on Raw. It's like, what are we doing? Like, they just keep getting all these chances. You got Dom, who is the Intercontinental Champion. You take out Carlito out of nowhere, just release him. And Liv gets hurt, right? Which you can't, that's not something that they plan for. So you got to adjust, right?
Like, let's be honest. They had
such a huge opportunity in front of that crowd at Night of Champions in Saudi to really uplift Raquel and Roxanne and make them a force, especially if Roxanne's going to be the tag team champion, I'm assuming, with Raquel to take place to Liv, since they didn't vacate the titles. They had a big opportunity here, and they really missed with Rhea winning once again, which, again, it's like Manny said, so is she getting another title shot at Evolution or Saturday Night Main Event now? Are we getting Rhea and EO again?
I'm starting to get pissed off with the with the writing team right now when it comes up to Raquel, because she's just coming back from her personal stuff. And it seemed like the writing too is just like, what are y'all doing? Y'all trying to make her a bodyguard, but y'all making her soft in every match. And that's what's starting to piss me off. It's like, she's supposed to be the muscle out of her and Liv, and it seemed like the muscle is always failing at the wrong time.
Getting beat up.
Yeah. So it's just like, what are y'all doing? When her and Roxanne, let's just be honest, they're going to keep the titles on them. They don't got no other options for these titles. So now when y'all get these titles, what's going to be the storyline? And can y'all make them a force in these next couple of weeks?
And honestly, what tag teams do they got to face against?
Nothing. It's like y'all going on both shows as well. So it's nothing there. Yeah. And then y'all released them a couple of tag teams a couple months ago. And these last few months, it was like y'all really shooting yourselves in the foot.
Yep, or broke up tags, because I thought Alba Fire and Isla Dawn were a good tag team.
Yep.
You know,
it's DC got me fired up about it.
I'm telling you, like, that was very mild to the way I felt when we were first going to talk about this. I held back a little bit. Like, I love Rhea. I love her, and I understand that she is top babyface in the company. Like, that's one of the few women that Saudi Arabia crowd cheers for and goes crazy for. So I get it. But at the same time, you got to go with what you got to go with, man. Like, yep. Raquel should have won that match. So we'll see where they go from here. You know, we've learned to let things be and let them cook, so to speak. So we'll see where it goes. But really disappointing finish.
Look, I'm getting tired of these crockpot meals, though. They take forever.
Crockpot meals? So yeah, you just throw it in the microwave guy, huh?
No. The grill cooks.
He be microwaving his chicken nuggets. Don't even put them in the oven. He be microwaving them, don't you?
Whoa! Don't disrespect the air fryer like that, okay?
This guy,
I'm bougie. I got me an air fryer. But anyways, off the subject of soggy nuggies and stuff, that main event between the doctor of drug free thugonomics, CM Punk. And the doctor of Thugonomics and John Cena. What'd y'all think of that now? Well, we know what Drew thinks.
Shut up. Okay, so it was some...
Whoa! That was a bit aggressive.
There was something...
And in the comments, too, I want to know if you watch Night of Champions, what was the best match, best moment of Night of Champions, and worst? That's what we're talking about today. Best and worst of Night of Champions. I want to throw this one up, too, from earlier, real quick, before Drew goes. Our friends at the Main Event Network. So people are big mad about Cross loss, but let's be real. Sammy is a bigger star at the moment.
Hands down.
No, he's right. Especially in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. Definitely. They love him. He's embraced the culture there, so I wasn't even surprised when he came out.
I would dare to say Sammy is the biggest star when WWE goes over to Saudi Arabia.
Like, he's Saudi Arabia Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes, I'd say that too, hands down.
I know Drew loved that Cena match though. It's probably good. It's probably your best, ain't it?
I liked it because it kind of, like, I was thinking during the match, I was like, I think Seth needs to come out, and he did. I just didn't see all that stuff happening in between. Because at one point it was like, yo, is Seth really about to get the title tonight?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe y'all was probably like, man, that ain't about to happen. But I was like, all right, man, if this happens, it's going to be legendary, especially them doing that this PLE.
Yeah, and then seeing him and John Cena standing in the ring, and Seth's like yelling at him. He's like, he does not need to win this match. You're going to lose. Just let me take the title. I was like, he is really hell-bent on keeping that title from CM Punk.
He really is. And I was like, bro. I was also thinking, it's like, what if he cashes in and CM Punk still wins?
Oh, that's a storyline in its own right there.
Oh, my gosh. Then it also takes you, I was like, hey, John, what you about to do these next couple, 15 days?
Yep.
So, this match was okay for me. The only thing I kind of took out of this match was, I think we're getting a babyface Cena very soon.
I kind of hope so, because I'm still not... I've never been sold on the heel Cena, I guess. I mean, I've enjoyed the promo just to see him just try. But it's not, well, with The Rock not being here still, it's like, this is pointless.
Who?
That guy, that one guy who do movies.
Oh, Dwayne.
Yeah, Dwayne. The fake belt guy.
Right. Oh, you mean the guy with that that rapper that comes out with him with his fake belt too?
Yeah, he still needs to get a receipt, but yep. None of my business.
Not mine either.
Mm-mm. I was about to say, Manny, what you had thought on it?
I thought it was good, actually. I like the spots. Like I said, I already spoke on it. I liked when Seth and John were standing in the ring and they were exchanging words on why Seth was trying to cash in this his money in the bank. And Cena was like, yeah, bro, that's not happening, though. And, you know, hit him with an AA. Seth rolls out the ring. You know, we get the embrace, you know, the Cena, CM Punk embrace. And then he looks at Stu, the cameraman, is like,
you know, okay, so let me say something on that.
We about to do this.
That is one part I did hate in the match.
Oh, I love it.
You know what I said? Like, I was excuse my language on this. I was like, man, here this shit go again.
Really? I was like, oh, but I liked how CM Punk was like, nope. Caught the groin shot and then tried to hit a move and Cena hit him with the AA. I almost said, you know, what it was originally.
Old word.
Yep. But you know, the ending of the match was predictable. It was predictable. But all of the mess in between was fun.
Okay. But we can all say it did make sense though. We knew John was gonna win, but it made sense how he won.
Yeah. That's why I said when John wins at SummerSlam, Randy's going to interfere, RKO Cody out of nowhere, and John's going to sneak in like the little scoundrel he is, take his pin and run.
Jesus.
So do y'all think all the backlash, so to speak, that Night of Champions has gotten online, I don't know if y'all have even seen it, but like everybody's complaining how bad it was and complaining it was so terrible. Y'all didn't think it was that bad, or did you think maybe they do get a little criticism for the show?
I would, if they would have restructured the card, I probably would have ranked it higher. That, to be completely honest, that is my own personal view. And like, we're all entitled to our own opinions, but in my personal view, if they would have stacked the card differently, I probably would have rated it higher.
So you mean just like the match order? Like yeah. you would have changed the order a little bit? So how would you have done it? How would you have done it then?
Start with Sammy and Karrion Kross. We know Sammy's big, right? Sammy is adored by the Saudi crowd. Start with them. And then give Jade and Asuka that second slot. I think that would have been good. And then, you know, for the little intermission break, you do the street fight. Because honestly, that's what the street fight was. And then we get the men's final. And then we cap it off with Cena and CM Punk.
I think they do need a little backlash, I guess. Because it did feel like a regular event. If you're not usually watching PLEs, you expect a little bit more. This really just felt like a Thursday night. I mean, Friday night, sorry. Like, let's be honest. I mean,
well, it felt like a glorified Saturday night main event.
Okay, yes, that perfectly.
And you notice we didn't get the Crown Jewel Championship match either?
But that's not a Crown Jewel type of thing, though. No, Crown Jewel is his own thing. This was Night of Champions. But I understand what you were saying, though.
They go to Saudi so much, the Riyadh so much now that, you know, when Riyadh first came about, it was just Crown Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
So, my bad. Confusion. Now,
and then even during the match, I was thinking about certain things. And I was like, man, I hope they don't, like, try to favor to that crowd as well. Because right. I know there was also talks about, like, a WrestleMania in the near future. I'm just like, I'm not watching WrestleMania at 1 p.m.
No.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm not doing that. Yeah. Especially on two nights in a row.
Yeah, WrestleMania needs to follow the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's already a lot of people that are upset that it's in the Royal Rumble's there in 2026.
Oh, that was the thanks, DC.
You're welcome.
That's my second favorite.
You're not going to go to Saudi Arabia 2026 with a Royal Rumble?
Man, I barely want to go to Indianapolis. Man, what you talking about going to Saudi Arabia?
It was 108 degrees there? Hard pass.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that. So what was – all right, so as we kind of, you know, put everything into contract, I thought it was pretty good, man. I thought the night was pretty good. Like Drew said, something Drew said at the beginning that really lasted with me, that's really resonated, was he said it was filled with good moments.
Yep.
Not necessarily great matches, great wrestling, anything like that. but there were great moments, and moments meaning like Jade getting crowned Queen of the Ring when everyone, I mean, at least in my opinion, I think everyone thought that Asuka was winning that. I think everyone just already assumed that Asuka was winning Queen of the Ring. She's returning. So, like, I think Drew said it best when he said that it was filled with good moments.
I agree with that. My favorite was the four of the Bloodline standing on the stage or on the entranceway with Solo.
They're up front. Still the Bloodline?
I think they are still the Bloodline.
Baby Bloodline.
You know, you had Solo, you had Hikuleo, or sorry, Tala Tonga.
Yeah, get it Tonga, right. I don't know Solo. Who Hikuleo is.
My bad, bro. My bad. You know, you had all of them on the entranceway, and it was reminiscent of, do you remember when Roman won and Jay, Jimmy, and Sammy were there and they helped him win? Mm-hmm. I think it was a WrestleMania. The Cody Rhodes, the first one. You know,
oh, that, Cody Rhodes. Yeah, that one, yeah.
Yeah, that was reminiscent of that. And that's, you know, I was like, I like the way they did that. I like that. That paid homage to our OTC, which they should because they're riding his coattails.
Fact.
Man, I'm tired of hearing about the OTC. Just keeping it 100. He's not
the
here.
Only tribal chief, bro.
He doesn't care about us, Manny. He doesn't care about us. Oh, so y'all acknowledging Solo then, the new United States champion, which was the best moment and match of the night, right? You can't tell me.
I believe in Joe Hendry, to be honest with you.
Huh?
I said, if anything, I believe in Joe Hendry, if anything.
All right, this was a great episode. Yeah, I'm checking out after that.
Okay. All right, since you want to cut off with me, man, listen, man, this has been a Wrestling Hogs podcast. We appreciate all y'all listening.
What was the worst, though? What was the worst match, and what were some of the worst moments where you were like, not the best moment? So we talked about the best. We all agreed that the best – so my best moment – was Jade getting crowned Queen of the Ring. Yep. The best match was Solo Jacob Fatu, in my opinion. What was y'all best match and best moment? I don't think y'all even said.
Best match, definitely Solo and Jacob Fatu. Worst moment was Jade struggling to get the finish.
Ooh.
She didn't struggle to get the finish. She just met like the pin when That's she what I mean. Usually pulls their leg up for the jaded pin, and she does this. She just fell back. She lost her balance. That's all that was.
Definitely, she was definitely favoring her knee, though, and that's what I mean. It was you muted yourself, but you know when she went to do it, it looked painful.
Okay, so mine's a little different. My moment is the Bloodline. Obviously, my worst moment, I'm gonna say the crowd for when the women came out. That's the only time I'm like, y'all really making it like these women are trash.
They went a little crazy for Asuka, though.
Yeah.
Well, Asuka. And Rhea, obviously.
But y'all treating them like, well, heck, I could piggyback off of Friday. And I know Manny might like this one a little bit better. When Zelina came out there and there wasn't nobody saying anything. And I'm like, come on now. Like, she ain't that bad of a wrestler or anything. Like, y'all is tripping.
I hate when they do that to her.
Speak on her.
Yeah, that does mess up the character.
Although her entrance was kind of weird with the snake, but okay.
Okay, I get it. So I wasn't going to say nothing on that, but you said it.
That was a little LWO-esque.
Oh, my God.
Look, I told you, Drew, every single episode, this dude has to mention the LWO in some aspect, bro.
No, because he know my frustration with it. I think he does that on purpose at times. He wants me to say something crazy on it, but I'm not.
I'm starting to feel like Drew about them, bro. Like, I'm starting to get just as mad as Drew does when you mention him.
No,
because I'm going to keep mentioning him then. Kind of like how Drew mentions...
Don't even say it. Don't even say it, Manny. Don't say it.
He might appear.
Say that name. That's why I don't want you to say it. Drew will do that interview by himself.
At least he has no clip.
You gotta believe.
Don't say
it. You gotta believe in Joe Hendry.
Dang it.
Look where Joe Hendry got us. He got us on Main Event Network right now. Main Event Wrestling Network.
Hey, Main Event, if you guys are listening.
Joe Hendry did not.
Joe Hendry did not. Drew didn't even want to stand in line to see the guy, yet he praises him.
Because the line was for 10 miles. I'm not standing in line.
Well, I stood in line for Chavo and Rikishi.
Because there were 10 RVD.
Okay, that one was. I mean, We waited all day for Mr. Kennedy.
No, we didn't.
It felt like all day.
Get out of here. No, but other than that, fellas, y'all got anything else before we go?
My worst. Ooh. I really did not. My worst is definitely Rhea. Rhea winning. I really just think that was a huge miss.
Yeah,
the match was good, but like I think they really missed the boat with Raquel losing that match. Another match against Rhea. They had a huge opportunity. Like there's moments where the women's division feels a little top heavy, in my opinion. Like you keep seeing all these title matches with, you know, EO and Becky and Bianca, Charlotte. Like they had an opportunity to really uplift Raquel and kind of get her, because she's not going to be, she can't just be a tag team champion her whole career. Eventually Raquel's going to have to step off on her own. And they had a big opportunity not only to showcase her and, you know, by herself in front of a big crowd and the world. They let us down and they let her down. They had an opportunity to lift her up. She could have beat Rhea. She's up there. Roxanne will instantly get up there to that level instead of just being Liv's replacement. Like it was a huge miss to me.
Like even with Raquel, I feel like this match should at least set her up for an Intercontinental run in the near future.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I
feel, and like, I don't even feel like it did that, does it?
No, right? not at all.
So that was definitely my worst.
Yeah. I do have one thing to say, though, before we leave.
And, what's up?
You know. His name and he appears. I believe in Joe
Hendry. I believe in. It's my boy, Manny, baby. Yo, so this has been the Wrestle Hogs podcast, man. We appreciate y'all for listening. Make sure to watch us on all social medias, man. Anything else, DC?
I'm done. Hey, I'll turn in my termination papers tomorrow.
No, you good, man. We'll talk about it, HR. Yo, this has been the Wrestle Hogs podcast. I'm Drew.
Manny T.
We'll get with y'all next week, man.